Historically, Labor Day represents the beginning of fall and goodbye to summer, and along with that are many traditions, including what happens this Labor Day. It's opening day of dove season, this Labor Day weekend anyway, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Dove, of course, is the most hunted and most harvested bird in the United States, with over 17 million doves harvested each year. And that's something that we're going to talk a little bit about on this edition of the Carolina Outdoors. But we're also going to talk about the cultural experience that dove hunting represents and the opening day of dove season. Many people, of course, think about spending time with their granddad or their dad on this opening day, listening to a college football game kick off, eating barbecue and enjoying each other's companies as well as their neighbors' companies in a dove field somewhere. Well, we're going to talk all about those sorts of things, but we're also going to talk about the technology and the weaponry that's used in dove hunting, if that's the proper term. Anyway, to do all of this, we've got Wes Lawson to my right. And of course, I'm Bill Barty. We're the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's. How do we do, Wes?
Well, hey there, Bill. It's good to be here. Good to talk to you about something that I just absolutely love and used to do a whole lot of, and maybe we'll get back into it maybe as soon as this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about opening day, talking about dove, the safe practice of shotgun shooting and shotgun handling, and how to have a great time out there in the field. So with all of that in mind, Bill, one thing that I really liked hearing from you is talking about dove. You know, and when we talk about dove here, we're talking about the mourning dove, or if you're thinking about Christmas time, it's the turtle dove. It's the same bird. So the turtle dove and the mourning dove are the same bird. You hear them out a lot right now. If you have birds in your yard, they sometimes sound kind of like an owl call. It's that cuckoo, hoo, beautiful sound. That's usually the male. Or maybe you see three of them together. They're in a mating ritual, and if they're flying around, the first two are the boys. The last one is the girl. The lead bird, just like the lead dog, is in charge. That one in the middle wants to dethrone him. It's a beautiful thing, those mating rituals. But mourning dove are a beautiful bird to watch. They're fun to observe. They're relatively comfortable around people. You can get close enough, except when it's opening day, just like deer. All these animals seem to know when it's opening day when to go scatter off. So with all that in mind, Bill, where do you want to start as we talk about mourning dove and the opening day?
Well, let's talk, of course, so that's the bird out there. And we'll come back and talk about that and also talk about hunting in general as far as bag limits and that sort of thing. But for many out there in the Carolina outdoor land, they may not know, the different types of shotguns and what it takes to bring down one of these birds. And of course, the choke tubes that go in these guns. And there's different situations for a hunt. And along the way, as we're talking about the shotguns used in a proper dove hunt, we'll talk about safety as well, as far as don't fire at low flying birds, why you do not fire at low flying birds, why you don't shoot at birds on power lines. Not only is that maybe lacking in sportsmanship, but there's some safety reasons. Believe it or not, shooting at power lines is a bad thing. But I guess first off, Wes, I want to ask you about the shotguns. Of course, they're all kind of different guns, 410, 12 gauge, 20 gauge, 28 gauge even. But for a dove hunt, for an average shot, or maybe even a pretty good shot, talk to us about what kind of shotguns that we're going to be using and maybe the ways to affect the pattern when we do fire at a bird.
You know, Bill, if this was a call-in show, the phones start to light up pretty soon because I'm going to say some things that some of the hunters may not always like. So let's talk real quick about one of those shotguns. You talked about the 410. So you said 12 gauge, 20 gauge, 28 gauge, and then you said 410. Those other guns are gauges. A 410 is a bore, which is the actual bore or the diameter of the shotgun. So if it was actually a shotgun, it would be like a 67 gauge or some craziness. 410s are great to learn on. They're really most commonly used for very small game or for varmints. I would be hesitant to take one on a bird hunt, but it can be done. Now, 28 gauge is less common than it once was. It's the smallest of the traditional shotguns. People who are using those are one of two things. They're either a novice getting into a fuller size shotgun, or that's your person to look out for. That's the person who is really good, because a 28 gauge is smaller than a 20, is smaller than a 16, is smaller than a 12. So real quick, what does all this mean? We won't go into all the details, but think about a 12 gauge. It's the most popular shotgun in America, maybe even in the world. It's very versatile. And I said popular, I didn't say best. A 12 gauge means if you had 12 standard size balls of equal size, they would, the size of the bore, they would equal 1 pound. So if you had a lead ball that would fit into a 12 gauge, 12 of those would equal 1 pound. That's a 12 gauge. It's the larger of the most common shotguns that we have in America. There is a 10 gauge. It is less common. And then you have chamber sizes, 2 3/4, 3 inch, and 3.5. We're going to talk about 2 3/4 inch. That's your standard shotgun shell for a 12 gauge. They get a little bit different for those others. But so opening day coming up, I'm probably going to grab a 12 gauge, mostly because that's what I have. That's what I'm comfortable with. A 20 is perfect for what we're talking about. It's a great bird gun. It's light in the hand. It's good on the shoulder. And then within the shotguns, we have single shot or single action. So it's one barrel, one shell at a time. Double barrels, which can be side by side or over unders. Semi-automatics. So you put two or three in there. It may hold five, but you're putting a plug in there. Pull the trigger, gun goes boom, it ejects that shell, automatically loads the next. It's not an automatic, it's a semi-automatic. And then pump shotguns. Load them up, pull the trigger, pump the gun, it ejects the shell. When you slide it forward, it cycles in the next round. The best gun to use is the one you have and the one you're comfortable with. I like the 12 gauge that I have. It's an over-under, which allows me effectively to cheat at bird hunting. I have two choke tubes. So you mentioned choke tubes earlier. So I've got my gun, I've got my 12 gauge shells. I like a number 7 for birds. We'll come back to what that means in a minute. Then I have two choke tubes, one for each barrel. So the choke tube constricts all of those pellets that are coming out. That number 7 is shooting out about 250 very small pellets out of that barrel. And the choke tube determines or helps to determine how wide that pattern or cloud will be, and effectively how far it will travel. So my bottom one, the first one to fire, is a skeet tube. It widens that spread way out. And then the one on top is an improved. It's a little bit tighter. I can hit farther away. So the first one gets them close. The second one gets them on the way out. There's also cylinder. There's modified. There's improved modified. There's full choke. All this stuff, we can go into just way too much detail about this. What's the size mean? I said 7. 7 is considered the dove load. You could do 7.5. You could do 8's kind of small. The bigger the number there, the smaller the pellet. At a 9, it's not much bigger than pepper flakes. Not red pepper, but black pepper. Really small. You're more likely to injure, wound, and cause problems than anything else, and we don't want that. 7 or 7.5 is really just down the middle. It's the best one. You have a bigger, basically, cloud of dust to fly through. For small birds and small game, it's more lethal, and we want that. We don't want to have cripples. We don't want to wound. We want to be quick. And a 7 does that. It's also fairly fast. So if you're like me and you know, maybe you didn't spend your summer skeet shooting and getting ready, you want every advantage you can to be successful. That's going to be it for me. It's, you know, 12 gauge, so it's big. 7 shot, that's small, but I get more of them, and then they're fast, which means if my instincts aren't quite as good, I can get those out there real quick.
We're learning a little bit about dove season because it's the Labor Day weekend and opening day of dove season. So we're going to take a moment to talk about shotguns and what Wes just kind of helped explain, the different ammunition that we're using, the shells that we're using out there, the choices of shells. Over at Jesse Brown's, we do not sell firearms or shotgun shells, but we celebrate the sporting life along with our customers who do get out and bird hunt, and they'll be out there opening day. It is a rite of passage for many in the Carolinas to celebrate opening day together with neighbors, with family. They will get out there and enjoy a lunch and opening day of bird season. A few years back, they did change, and we'll talk about this later on in the program, but 30 minutes before sunrise, the entire season is dove season. So you can get out there early in the morning before the heat of the day. We'll also talk about, of course, hydration, sun protection, and being comfortable out there, including sitting down. We have dove stools that we do sell at Jesse Brown's from GCI. It just makes it easy to carry your tripod chair out there, sit down there, and talk with your neighbor and that sort of thing. So we're going to continue the conversation and information here on the Carolina Outdoors with Wes Lawson there, Bill Barty here. Wes, I do know that when we harvest a bird, the shot in the bird can take away from the taste a little bit. One of those different shells help or easier to clean than another as far as not biting into a shotgun shell?
Yeah, so one of the great rites of passage of bird hunting is when you first taste a pellet, and it doesn't feel good. It's, you know, it's lead or it's tungsten, it's a metal, and you're biting into it, and that can be a little alarming at first. So yeah, that is one of the things that it's a definite downfall of harvesting your own fowl, let's say. So there's not a whole lot you can do there. You can try shredding the meat and things like that in the cooking process, but that's pretty tedious. These are small birds, you know, they're on average 4.5 ounces, so they're not really big. But it is something to think about. So every now and then you do want to chew carefully. You know, when you mention rites of passage, that's one of the great things about opening day for anything. Baseball season, football season, lacrosse, deer, turkey, you name it. It's exciting. We've spent a year not having it. And I think in 2020, all the rites of passage we can get are what we should go for. And for me, I can recall as a young child, at 5 years old, living in Columbia, South Carolina, going on my very first dove hunt with my dad and older brother, and being bored to tears because I was the five-year-old and did not have a role in this whatsoever. And so after bothering my dad all day long, my brother had a 20-gauge, I had nothing, my dad let me shoot a gun for the first time. He held it because it was a 12-gauge and I was little, and it knocked me on my butt. And I think that's why I like 12-gauges so much now, because I've spent so much time with them from a young age on. As a shooting and sports instructor at the HF Bar Ranch in Wyoming, as a college student, as an outdoors person, I like them because it evokes that sense of a rite of passage and the newness of a new season. And fall is here, folks. And so part of that is getting the gun out and cleaning it, but then all the other safety aspects. We have great gear, you know, great stuff from Filson and Barber, great for the field. You've got to have your orange on. Because if these shots can bring down a bird, they can also bring down a person. You mentioned earlier why we don't shoot at power lines. Well, there's a couple. One is it's not sporting whatsoever. The other is you're shooting at a power line. You can knock someone's power out. If the power line falls down, you can kill people. So that's generally a bad idea. We're also using shotguns. We're not using pistols or rifles because that's also extraordinarily dangerous. We're not shooting at low-flying birds because we're more likely to harm someone or property. So we always want to know where our people are. I am going to wear orange. I am going to wear good sun protection. It is still kind of warm outside. People think, well, I'll just take my shirt off. Well, don't do that for a couple of reasons. One, no one wants to see that. Two, it's not good sun protection. Three, if that's the first time you're showing it, you're blaze white. You're scaring birds away. It's also a bad way to mount the gun. You're sweaty, the gun's gonna slip, you're not gonna get a good mount, you're also likely to hurt yourself. Little things like that. Back to that GCI dove stool we carry, when you're sitting there on your dove stool, you're leaning against that fence, keep that finger off the trigger and preferably keep that chamber empty. Now, I shoot an over-under, so when I'm not shooting, the gun is broken open, which means it's hinged open. I will hold it that way until I see a potential bird coming in, and I close it with my finger off the trigger, I'm ready to go. But if I'm not actively shooting, the gun is in a safe condition. If it's a pump or something like that, safety is on, fingers always off the trigger. I'm even happier if your chamber is empty. take that extra half a second to load it just beforehand. You will still make your shot, but you will be safer because once that bullet or that shotgun shell is fired, we can't call it back. Always think safety. Always know what's downrange of you. Know it's around you. Know where your hunting buddies are. A lot of us hunt public land. So if there's a board where you tag where you're going, make sure you check that board. Make sure you know where you're going. This is dove season. You don't need to be quiet. So announce your presence when you get out there. If that upsets somebody, I'm sorry, but it's better than having to call a medic. So do all that stuff and you'll have more fun while you're doing it. It is still warm, so do hydrate. And hydrate means water and electrolytes. It does not mean beer or other alcohol. We don't want to mix those things with our sporting lifestyle. That's one, illegal, two, very dangerous. So take water with you, take an iced tea, take a Gatorade or some other sports beverage, do those things, and you're going to be better off while we're out there.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, what is proper, what's legal, what's illegal in the dove field. But before I do that, I'm gonna stay with that rite of passage. And if you're just joining us, the Carolina Outdoors, available both podcast and early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio. If you're a podcast listener, we hope you'll continue to subscribe to the Carolina Outdoors. Also, rate and review it if you like it, especially. It helps other people find us and lets them know that something good's coming out of Jesse Brown's Outdoors. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Barty. Speaking of the rite of passage, I do remember as a kid, it was less about the bag limit and more about how many boxes of shells it took for you to get your limit. And back to the shotguns, which ones beat you up more? Because a 410, even though it's not a shotgun, but it's a smaller gauge gun, can be pretty rough on a kid, but also for an adult. Is a 12 gauge just going to have more recoil? And what should we expect as we shoot it if we have not been preparing for opening day of dove season?
Yep. So this is something that gets talked about a lot at any gun shop, any shooting range, around the dining room table before that first time out. Shotguns kick, they recoil, they have a pretty fair oomph behind them. So in my case, that over under I have, it kicks pretty hard, but its design, it's very manageable. It's a straight kick. Single shotguns or pump guns tend to kick pretty hard. Now, semi-automatic, it kicks with less recoil because that gun is using those gases to cycle the next round through. So it does help. 12 gauges typically are going to have some pretty strong kick to them, especially if you're new to the sport or you haven't shot in a while. 20 gauges are more manageable. 28 gauges are real sweet. 410s, now we're getting to something different. A 410 for an adult, no problem. But most of those small, novice guns are designed for a smaller frame. So they're shorter. They have a lot less material. So pound for pound, it's going to kick harder. When I used to do this as a job, Richard Platt out at the old HF Bar Ranch out there in Saddle String, Wyoming would say, careful with those little 410s. Kids really have a hard time with them. And we would oftentimes get on a knee with a child and help hold a 20 or a 28 because the recoil was more manageable. And yes, it did mean that we had to have a third hand on that gun. When done properly, if you're on the strong side of that person on the gun side, you can be safe and maybe even safer and help them have a good experience. Because there is recoil and it can be scary and that can ruin someone's experience. So we want to be careful with that. So even if they're new and you give them, a hand-me-down 410, they're also new and they have tender shoulders and they don't quite know what to expect. So you've got to have good polycarbonate glasses on to protect their eyes. And then we're going to have to talk about how to mount that gun and how to hug it nice and tight so we don't have issue. If we're afraid of the gun and we hold it far away, we're going to increase the chance of being hurt. So all of that comes into play there. And it is kind of confusing, but all things being equal, the smaller the number, so a 12 gauge versus a 20, the 12 is going to kick more. If I had to say to somebody across the board, what's the best one to get other than what fits you, I might say, get a 20. It's going to do the job just fine. It's going to hurt a little bit less, but 12 gauges, there's more of them and there's more availability of ammunition.
Well, and you don't miss as much.
That's right.
And I always like that. Listen, let's continue this conversation and find out more about this bird that we're in pursuit of, this migratory bird, the mourning dove. as it is a Labor Day weekend on the Carolina Outdoors, and we're kicking off dove season with you, the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Bartee. We're going to come back and talk about normal agricultural practices and baiting and how that's illegal, the latter part of it anyway. But first, we need to take a break. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors.